And we are live. Not a great weekend for any London club in this podcast.
Yeah, you had to ruin it though, didn't you?
I mean, no, we saved it, if anything. We will start with Tottenham Brighton tonight.
Oh, God.
I've not seen any of this game, so let me know what happened. Paint a picture, Luke. Let's go.
Okay, how do I paint this picture? Shit. Nah, you know what? It was typical Tottenham. You know, we looked good, like performance-wise. But I know the result, 2-0 down, would show something different from that. But they had like counter-attack football, ball over the top for their first one. Just it looked like Ange football at that point, where the defence was quite high up, and yeah, they got behind. Van de Ven pushed a bit too far forward, so you know Romero was the one tracking back, who weren't catching this other guy, and yeah, took round the goalkeeper, and then they scored the first one. Oh, actually hurt for a second. Should have done that. yeah, frustrating. It was frustrating to see. But there were some positives from it. I know you could argue that you drew, you know, blah, blah, blah. But 2-0 down against Brighton, which we lost from memory last year, both games against Brighton. They're always a hard team to play against. And to come back and get a draw out of it in the end was good. I was a bit concerned about the lineup. He played Richarlison. Xavi was on the bench. Ben Tassar was on the bench.
Oh, Odobert started. Oh.
Odobert started, which he was all right. He wasn't great, but he was all right. Udogie was phenomenal, which I think he needed to be because, you know, Spence has been quality for us. But he's nice to have an actual left back at left back. And yeah, he looked good. So fighting for his position is what we need. We need the depth. But yeah, and then their second goal, Vicario should be saving. Going back to your one, Mitchell, your goalkeeper. Oh, Bob's nodding his head. You think he wouldn't have been able to save it?
No. I think he's definitely 100%. It's nothing like the Chelsea West Ham, mate. Yeah. 100% should have saved it.
Should have been saving that. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because Vicario is actually been a good shot stop for us. His distribution's been a bit terrible, but his saving's normally pretty good.
So he's struggled at corners and
there's that as well. But he's saving. He's great. I know there's a bit of a swerve on the ball, but he's got to be saving that. I don't know if it's just lack of because we
there's
had
no
possession.
Such thing as swerve on the ball.
Let's not blame the balls.
Sorry. I shouldn't blame the balls. But bad. It was bad to concede the two goals. I feel like at this level, we should not be switching off. I know we played Champions League midweek, but I don't think that's an excuse because he's been rotating the squad. So I think if we played the same squad middle of the week and then the same squad the weekend, I would have been like, okay, that's understandable going 2-0 down and whatnot. But it wasn't. It was just lack of judgment, lack of like watching the game.
I was driving, that's why I didn't see any of the game. So I was listening to Talk Sport, and they said that when you brought Xavi on, that's when you actually got into the game. Like, you wasn't doing anything before that.
No, we looked at the better team, like, overall. Like, the only chances they had were, like, the counter-attack they did. And then I think they had, like, a five-minute spell in the second half, and that was about it. But, yeah, Xavi, when he come on and played his actual, like, number 10 role position, instead of, because the last two games he's playing left wing, I don't think it's been great for him. He's still getting used to the system, but stuck him there and he just looked quality, looked really, really good. He should have scored from like a tap in of sorts, but I think it went wide from memory. It went wide. But he looked good. I think Brennan Johnson, I don't think he fits the system. He come on, he did okay, but I don't think he fits the system. That's why Odobert's got in there over him. If you think of it from a bigger perspective, like someone like Brennan Johnson, who got like 20, 15, 16 goals last season, might have got a bit more actually, but he was getting goals for us. Our top goal scorer. and then he just gets dropped. But I think the system that we play, not the crossing across the box and then always back posts. If you look at all his goals, he's always been like sort of tap-ins and running in the box. I don't think he wants to play that football. I think he wants to play that lovely football that the teams play to get into the box and score, get the crosses into either Solanke or into like in the air and then into Richarlison and play that sort of football. Brennan Johnson, no, it's not that kind of system for him. I don't think he tracks back well enough as well in that system. But the positives. So Tottenham, last season, we would have lost that game 3-4-0.
I missed that.
But it, you know, with the depth that we had on the bench to be able to come on, change things around and get the two goals yesterday, our last goal was an own goal, but you don't cross that ball in the box.
Both scrappy goals from what I've
they were. They were scrappy goals, yeah. It was just a bounce around in the box type thing. And then Richarlison got the goal. And even then, the keeper got a hand to it that it just went in. But yeah, I'm happy we got a draw. I think looking at league position, we're third. I think it's Liverpool, Arsenal. I think we're on the same points as Arsenal, which we'll talk to Arsenal later. But Arsenal and then Tottenham all on 10 points. I think Bournemouth are also on 10 points. Like they're having a really good start to the season. And I feel like that's actually, I'm happy with that. I mean, I've been disappointed that we didn't have a better performance overall in the Brighton game for us to go and win it instead of having the lapse in the game where we just let players run behind or the goalkeeper not saving an easy shot. They're the things, they're the moments that are going to cause us problems if players are not at their best. You know, not focus, and that's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see that. It's not mistakes now whereby we're giving the ball away and then they've gone and scored like last season. It's now positioning and being focused on the game that I feel like he needs to drill that in our players to be on it for the whole 90 plus minutes. But I'm happy with the result. We got a draw at the end of the day. I said a draw, I think, in my prediction. I think 1-1.
Spoilers.
I know, but you got to bring it up. Yeah, so got the draw. I'll take the point. Brighton are always a tough team. Like I said, lost against them twice. It's a step up from last season. We got a point this season. And again, they're a hard team.
Got away with it. Away from home.
Exactly. A point is better than nothing like last season. This season might make a big difference in the end of the year. We might finish 16th instead of 70.
Yeah, it'll take our spot this season.
Overall performance. I could go on and on about the game, but I can only go for the highlights of what I saw and the comments and stuff that people mentioned. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the next game.
Yeah, as I say, I've not seen any of the highlights of that game, so I can't really add much.
I think it's a pretty good summary, to be honest. Spurs did look like, as much as it pains me to say it, because do you know what? How much I wanted to...
You keep saying it, mate.
All I wanted to do was mug Luke off this week. Right? And when I saw it go 2-0, I thought, here we go. This is my week to shine. But yeah, then they came back. But they were definitely the better team. Fucking scumbags.
Thanks.
Mitch, anything?
Only that your keeper, he should have saved that shot. It looked like he stepped back as he dived. He should have saved it. You should have won it.
Yep.
Do you think he should have used his other hand?
No, not in this situation. He used the right hand, he just took the wrong step.
Yeah.
But Uzi, you said, what's his name? The dreadlocks.
Xavi.
Spence.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, Xavi. He looked good. He looked like he had a couple of chances he should have put away.
Yes.
He looks good.
Does this guy ever stop moaning?
How dare you? That's been deleted anyway. Shut up.
Why has it been deleted?
I don't know. It's just not there anymore.
Clive did it.
I reckon it was Clive.
Nope, not me.
No negative comments on our TikTok, please.
Thank you.
Over to West Ham next. The gift that keep giving this season so
brilliant.
Far.
Oh, yeah, they sure are, aren't they? Yeah, like, guess for me. I wonder if I'll ever get to wear my West Ham shirt on the podcast ever again. Probably not.
I doubt it. I think you're done.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, same old, isn't it? Do you know what, actually? No, it weren't the same old. I did actually scrape together some positives from this game, which is a shock.
You scored from a set piece.
scored from a set piece. Yeah, we also conceded to a set piece. But, you know, I don't think there's much of a shock there, but I do think there were some positives. I still think Somerville coming back and having Fernandez in the midfield, we just look so much better than what we did the first couple of games of the season, minus the Spurs game. But I just think generally Spurs were the better team. Going into that game against Palace, I expected us to lose. I'm not going to tell you what my prediction was, but let's just say I expected it. Right? they've gone 10 games unbeaten. So they're not an easy team to play against at the moment.
They're like 15 in total, 15, 16.
Is it really?
In total, I think.
In the Premier League.
Yeah, because the FA Cup and the Community Shield and whatnot. So I think it's like 15 in total.
Yeah, so they're not an easy team. I weren't expecting really to... It would have been nice to get a point, and it did. And that's one of the positives, actually. The amount of times that we've seen over the past year and a half that we've talked about pretty much every week, the fact when we go 1-0 behind, we just seem to completely lose it altogether. I don't think that actually happened this week. I think we did show a bit of fight. Again, just that our defence just... let us down. It was just, we were so flat-footed in defense. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what happened in that goal. I'd love someone to explain to me. Not you, Luke. You can't explain to me, right? Not this week. But the defense just looked so flat-footed, and it was just bad. They just didn't look like they had an idea of what they were doing.
Is this for the first one or the second one you took?
First one, Mateta's goal.
So the poor zoning marking again.
Shut up, Clive. Don't even start. Because I don't think they actually have an idea how to defend corners. But I was a little bit disappointed because obviously I think the keepers come under wraps quite a lot about those corners. But obviously this week, different keeper.
Different goalkeeper.
And it still seems to go to shit. He didn't seem to come out at all. Maybe it is the management. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But yeah, there was definitely some positives in there. I think
their second goal as well was a great finish.
It was a good finish. I still think we could have done a little bit more. I think it was too easy for them to get onto that. It was left, it felt like it kind of slowed down as it was going down towards his foot, if you know what I mean, and no one done anything other than Crystal Palace players, if you know what I mean.
There's no reaction from West Ham.
No, it didn't seem to be.
Is it time for Wan-Bissaka to come back into the team then?
I think put fucking Wan-Bissaka in central defensive position. I just fucking put him there because he's not going to do any worse than Mavropanos or I always forget his name.
Kilman.
Yeah, Max Kilman. They're just not on it at the moment at all. Just fill it out with our fucking wingers. We've got enough of them. Fill it all out. Get rid of all the central defenders. I don't care.
Could Souček do a job back there? I know he's suspended at the moment, but could he do a job back there?
Probably. Just put anyone there. I could do a better job than them. Just stick me there. I'll just be a wall. Do you know what I mean? They can just slam the ball at me. I don't know. That's where the problems are still happening. And obviously you've got all the stuff off the pitch as well. This week there was protests and stuff. I think there even was the week before as well. So you've got all of that stuff going on. It's just not good at the moment. It's not nice.
So are you worried? Because Leeds are looking decent.
Yeah.
Burnley look a bit more solid than I thought they'd be. I can't remember the third team that came up. Sunderland are flying.
Yeah.
Are you worried?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely I am. It's because these teams just seem... it's so annoying at the moment because I find myself watching other teams. Sunderland are a good example. Done so well in the transfer market. And you just watch them and you think, oh, I wish I could watch football like that. Like, I just wish that, like, we showed a bit of fight that these teams are having. And it
you used to under Moyes.
Yeah, we did. That's true. Yeah, we did. But it's upsetting, to be honest. I don't like it. I don't like football. I don't like football. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't like the manager, or you don't like football?
All important question. Put her out.
No. I just. What's the point? What is the point? We're just being exactly the same position again. So no, I don't like. There's no one that we're. I mean, Mourinho's taken now, and so we can't even use that argument. He's gone to Benfica, was it?
Nuno now. Yeah, Benfica.
Nuno. I don't know.
Rafa Benitez. He wants back into English football.
That's one pack, doesn't he?
Not to
a championship side though.
Not yet. Thank you.
Not yet. Do you know what, Bob? I watched some highlights from that game, and it was for the first time I don't want to say I felt sorry for Potter, but there were moments. You look pretty good going forward, but again, it's your defence. Yeah, the first goal you can see, Mateta, he's on his own.
Yeah,
there's no one on him, and he's the main man. He's the target man. Someone should be on him. And it was such a free header. If you could sort your defence out, you looked all right going forwards. Like you said, now you've got those the players that came back, the injuries and stuff.
Wilson starting as well. You've got an actual striker who makes striker runs rather than a midfielder trying to make striker runs.
Yeah, and to be honest, I can't really fault. I still think we're over-reliant on Bowen going forward. So over-reliant on him. And we've got to start bringing other people into play, like give other people responsibility, because it does seem like Bowen's taking a lot of it on. Do you know what I don't like?
West Ham.
Yep. Football. Yep. Yeah. But also...
Beer?
No, not that one. Very ridiculous. Love loads of that when I'm watching West Ham, especially. I don't like captains that are in forward positions. I just don't like it. Like, it don't feel right to me. Like, if Bowen's, like, all the way up there, and, I don't know, say Diouf's done something wrong, like, how's he going to give him a bollocking all the way over there? Yeah. Like, it just, I don't know. I don't like that either. I get why
he is. I agree. 100% agree.
Yeah. I get why he's got it, because, well... Actually,
everyone else is shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but again... Because he's our best player, equally, I don't want him to have it. Because I don't want him to have that. His job for me is to just be our best player. Go do whatever he needs to do. I don't like him having that extra responsibility. Give it to someone else. Give it to fucking Mavropanos. Is keeping him sweet? Sweet would not be in the championship.
Could be out of door soon.
Yeah. Sweet, that's what I mean. Yeah, but I mean, if he keeps having it, then maybe we're going to be down sooner than we think. Which is probably,
can you be down sooner than you think?
We're not down yet.
Relegated by Christmas.
Do you reckon Bowen, if you got relegated, do you reckon Bowen would stay?
He's got to go at that point. I don't think anyone would hate him.
Do you reckon the loyalty would still be there?
I think he'd have to go in January. If you're floating around that position, it's looking that dangerous.
He won't go in January.
If he wants a World Cup, if he wants a chance to be in the World Cup squad, he has to go in general.
Does he want to be in the World Cup squad, or does he want to keep his girlfriend?
His wife.
Wife, whatever. Yeah.
And his father-in-law. Be in the World Cup squad, son.
I don't think it would be.
Been off the dyers.
To answer your question, Luke, no, he's definitely going. If we get relegated, he's definitely going. I don't think he'll go in January. I don't think he would, even if we're...
I can't see January going, no.
But
I was looking at your upcoming fixtures. Do you know what, right? So, like I said, I think it was a step up from the Spurs game, right? I'm looking at your next three fixtures. I mean, they're not pretty. You're away to Everton next. I think you get a nice little 1-1 draw there. Build a bit of confidence. It's Arsenal the week later. Fucking do them 2-1. Come on.
Win 2-2 again.
Win 2-2.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's, well, we'll see what my prediction is going to be in Memphis. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, you haven't got nice fixtures coming up.
Yeah, I know, Mitch. You don't have to keep fucking saying it. He's already said it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Anyone else on West Ham?
I don't want to say this shit. We already know.
Yep.
I mean, like, I don't know how many chances like Wilson had, but did it look better from that perspective having him start a game?
No. Because to be honest, the first half was where our troubles were. I think it was the second half really where we started to come to life a bit. I've still got concerns about Falkrug.
Is he back on the bench yet? Is he?
Yeah, he came on in the second half. But I don't know. I mean, he's definitely not the answer, is he?
He was never going to be the answer.
No.
He's in his 30s. He's like I'd see him. I'd see him in a Moyes team, if I'm honest. But
yeah, but we're not.
I don't get what he offers.
Yeah. Me either. That's what I'm concerned about. Like, obviously, I think Pop's trying him out, but I think the main reason for that, I think he'd probably play Callum Wilson 24/7. But you know, again, he's in a similar situation where he's old and injury prone. Like, that's the West Ham way. I'm telling you, old and injury prone. That's the real West Ham way.
Age thing, Bob. All right.
Hey,
age is no excuse.
You can't use the age excuse. Yeah.
No, I'm not using age as an excuse. I'll tell you what. Give me some young players right now. Give me them. We need them.
You can have the backup.
Yeah, you've got a whole nother squad. Just fucking give us them so we can stay up. Christ's sake.
Right. Anyone else?
Please leave me alone. Thank you.
Over to the drama game of the Saturday. Chelsea United.
Chelsea United. What a name. Why are you laughing? It's a freak game. It's a freak game. You're not going to have another game like that this season. You can do all the prep work that you like. Your keeper getting sent off in the first 3 minutes throws everything out the window. But you can still work around it. And I question Maresca's decision making. In this game, in the heat of the moment.
Cole Palmer coming off?
Well, so did you hear what he said about Cole Palmer?
Wasn't 100% or something.
He wasn't 100%. So, first of all,
I think it is an excuse.
But if it's true, don't fucking start him. Bring him on later as a super sub in the second half. And again, if it's true, don't make the sacrifice, Estefeo. Make it Palmer. If you know he's not 100% fit, Esty, which is what I'm going to call him from now on, has been looking quality. And you know he's going to have lots of pace. Keep him on. Take Palmer off if you're worried about an injury. But he didn't. He took off Esty and Neto. What the fuck? Right? Because he wants to shore up his defence even more, even though we've got the fullback four, you've still got Caicedo and Fernandes that are going to back things up. You're playing against the United side who have not been very good. Be confident. And he wasn't. He takes off Neto and Esty, and then 10 minutes later, takes off Palmer. You've got no creative midfielders. None. You got João Pedro sitting up front by himself, and then the rest are defenders. What are you thinking? You're never going to have a chance in the game. I can't even remember the fucking goals now. What was their goal? What was their first goal?
Fernandes
just onside, wasn't he, on that one?
Yeah, he was onside.
Just realised I was on mute. Yeah.
Oh, was you taking the piss?
No. I was agreeing with everyone.
Yeah. Even then, I thought the defending could have been better. But like, even the Sanchez fucking thing pissed me off because... He didn't need to come running out to begin with. He should have stayed on his line, risked the goal, and let the two defenders come in and put him off his shot.
It looked like he had defenders that could get across.
Yeah. It was two of them that were near enough. He'd either have to take the shot straight away, which he did have time to do, but that's going to give Sanchez enough time to try and make the save. But just stay back. Let your defenders do it. It wasn't one of them situations like last week, where it was this wicked long ball that comes across, and then he's running for ages, and then maybe, all right, come out, and it's pissing down with rain. Stay back, let your defenders do the work, and try and make the save. Don't get sent off, number one. And yeah, and then the Fernandes goal, I thought that was a little bit, defending was a little bit poor there. And then the Casemiro goal. That was
header, wasn't it?
And it was two. I remember looking at them at the time, and there was two United players sitting at the back post by themselves, and I think it was just a little header that came back to them. Nobody's on them. Was like watching West Ham. It was awful, absolutely awful. So you've gone super defensive. All right, yes, down to 10 men, but you've gone super defensive, and you've gone 1-0 down, 2-0 down in the first half. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do? You get given a lifeline in the second half when Casemiro gets sent off, and I don't think there's any arguments for those yellows.
No, both yellow cards.
Silly boy. I mean, you know, he's got plenty of experience, but we all make mistakes.
He doesn't need to do either of them either.
No, he doesn't.
That's the thing.
He doesn't. He's a silly boy, but he wasn't punished for it.
Mitchell, any arguments about the Chelsea goalkeeper? The red? Any arguments about that?
No, whatsoever.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
Yeah. He's an idiot. What's he doing? Why would I stick up?
No, because you always do. You always fucking do.
Not Sanchez. No. I've never been a big fan of Sanchez. Like I said, it was so stupid. He's running out. It's pissing down with rain. You've got two defenders close by. Just try and save the shot. So second half, you get given a lifeline. Because I think the sending off was around the 50th minute. So you've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time. But what are you going to do? You've taken off your three creative midfielders. What are you expecting? You're expecting Caicedo to have another couple of bullet shots. It's not going to happen. He brings on...
the Predator.
Yeah. He brung on Tyreek George just before that. again, he's... I would much have preferred to have Neto on the pitch, at least, at very least. What was he thinking? I can't go over it. So yeah, then Predator steps up. Fuck you, Luke.
Yeah.
And he gets the goal, but it's the 80th minute. Oh, we've left it too long. We've left it way too long. At no point, like I said, this is a weakened United side. Amorim is charismatic, and maybe that's the only reason why I haven't sacked him yet. But Jesus Christ, we've just given him another month's extension on that because of this fucking result. We never went for it. The game's not over with 10 men. The game is not over. You're not playing against a City or an Arsenal who can sit back and just control the game. They are there for the counter-attack. But you've got no one that can do it. You've taken off everyone. You're going to hope to get a 0-0. You've gone down two goals. You get the... one goal back on the 80th minute. At least then do something and go for it. Nothing. Why are you laughing?
And I actually agree with you for once.
So, oh, thank you. Oh, fucking hell.
I wanted to ask if you've got any positives to say to, again, counteract the heat you're getting on social media.
The comments?
Hey, listen, you're always moaning, mate.
Yeah.
Has he ever stopped moaning?
What am I supposed to do? Do you want me to just like fucking not moan?
Just ask, what are the positives? Is there any
exactly
from that game? None.
For example, me and Luke, right? We both came off. So, like, Luke obviously got a draw against Brighton. He came out with some positives. I got loss against Palace. I came up with some positives out of that game. Where's your positives? Come on. You must have found at least one.
Sanchez missing three games.
That's a positive. There you go. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. All right, there was one positive from that.
Is it three games?
It might be one.
Have they changed it? Straight red.
It depends on what it's for. If it's like serious foul play or dangerous play, I think.
Oh, he almost took his shin off. Mitchell's
right into the FA.
Yeah.
Could have killed him. Yeah. Could have killed
this
him.
This is the other point, though. Like, you've got no other choice, Mitchell, but they're your players, so you just have to support them. So
you have to back them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Ganacho.
Do you reckon the Cole Palmer situation, because he looked really good when he came on the last game. I think not the last Premier League game. He looked really well, really good.
Fucking hell. That's an appearance. Improvement on Clive, isn't it? Cat's ass.
I've lost my train of thought now. But do you reckon the Cole Palmer situation, he started him because it's a lot easier like to take him off if he picks up a further knock? Because like, think of it like this, if you come on like the 60th minute, he stayed on the bench, yeah, and you had the red card still, or maybe not the red card, but he come on the 60th minute, but then he picks up a knock 5-10 minutes later, he's then got to make another sub, which he might not have. It's at risk, so maybe starting him, seeing how he goes. Because I think they iced his leg up straight after the game. I think as soon as he come off, they got the ice and stuff.
That's the PR, isn't it?
Or maybe not.
The thing is, right, and for any other club, for you three, if you know you've got a player that's not 100%, he can probably play. He wants to play, but he's not 100%. And you've got a big enough squad. There's enough squad depth there. You don't fucking start him. You maybe give him the last 20 minutes.
So poor management, not brave enough to make the big decisions. Is that what you're saying?
I do you know what? I wrote down a note and I said he needed to be braver and laugh out loud in brackets because I knew Clive would say something. I'm going to fucking mention brave to you later. But yeah, I don't know. He was saying in the press conferences after, he really wanted to play. He was really up for it and blah, blah, blah. But you're the manager. Every player wants to play. But you're the manager. If he's not 100%, and if it was a groin injury as well, I know about these fucking groin injuries. On and off groin injuries all the bloody time. It takes a long time to heal. Why risk it? Why risk it from the start of the match? But also, even if you knew he was 100% not fit, or not 100% fit, sorry, and Sanchez gets sent off, take off Palmer. Is it not obvious? Is that not so obvious? Take off the player who's not 100% fit as the sacrifice player to bring on Jorgensen. It's so obvious.
I mean, if you're going to do it in 5 minutes anyway, like, I get it if you don't... Cole Palmer's your star player.
Mm.
And I get it if you're trying to protect that relationship as a manager you've got with that star player.
Supposedly.
If you're going to do it in 5 minutes anyway... Yeah, just sacrifice him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Take the heat. Just sacrifice.
But also, you flip that. If he hadn't started, and I've got to look at my notes here because I can't remember the guy's name. Santos. Yeah, so I don't know much about him. But he could have, let's say Santos started instead of Palmer. And then he sacrifices Esty and Neto still for fucking God knows what reasons. And then you get to the 60th-ish minute, Casemiro's off, then bring Palmer on. Palmer will make something happen. Like you said, if he's not 100% match fit, give him the last 20, 30 minutes, Palmer will make something happen. Tyreek George coming on isn't going to make something happen. It's not the same impact player.
Is Palmer an impact player? I don't feel...
He can make anything happen.
He can, but I wouldn't say he's like
He did for England in the Euros and whatnot, didn't he? Off the bench and made things happen.
I'm not saying he's not a good player. I just don't look at him as like an impact sub, if you know what I mean. But then I suppose if you're good, so, then I guess you just are in general.
Well, that's it. He can do a bit of anything. He can make that killer pass. He can make the killer shot. He will make
Can't
things
play
happen.
Defensively, clearly.
Can he not?
God bless him.
I mean, why take him off if he is?
Well, because apparently he's got a secret fucking injury still. He's not 100% fit, even though you started him at the start of the fucking game and he's pissing down with rain.
I think sometimes pressure as well, like sometimes pressure on managers, because we've seen it with managers forever in football. Managers get that poster player that's like, if he gets dropped, like Tottenham with Kane, with his injury, we come back, Champions League final. I think Rooney as well, I think for England, when he wasn't on his best, but poster boy, he still had to start, still had to play. I think teams just have that player where, yeah, they don't want to, like Ronaldo's done it in the past as well. Like, there's players that are so good and so big at the club, like Palmer, is that he wants to play and the manager's like, well, okay, he's saying he's okay to play. And then if they drop him and then you lose, then what happens? The manager's going to get the stick, isn't he?
But I don't know if he's yet on that level as you're the key player like Rooney and Ronaldo was.
Well, no, I'm not putting him in the bracket. I'm just saying that if you was if you were to put Chelsea now, like it's like West Ham star boy is Bowen. Yeah. If you're going to put West Ham, they're like synonymous, aren't they? I think Chelsea and Palmer are synonymous at the moment. You know, if you're going to go Arsenal, you're going to go Saka. Synonymous. Maybe. But and that's what I'm getting. I'm not saying they're on the same level in terms of like ability. You know, don't get me wrong with that. It's more of that synonymousness of those players. Is that he is that such a player now, isn't he, for you?
Yeah, but be the manager.
I know. Right? I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I just maybe the behind the scenes.
Given his fitness at the moment and everything else going on, I'd have felt better if Neto was on that pitch for the whole game as opposed to Palmer. I feel like Pedro Neto would have made
he was fuming more... when he coming off.
Too fucking right as well. Yeah. Este's come off as a sacrifice. Yeah. Why am I going off?
Yeah.
It's those two games, Mitch. If you look at those last two games where he come on as a sub, the impact that he's had, as Bob alluded to in the sense that he's not an impact player, but the impact that he did have when he come on of that 10 minutes, like 10 minutes of Palmer in that game changed everything for Chelsea, changed it completely. Yeah, you just look so much better with him being on the pitch. Maybe it's just the fans, the mood of the players just see it, it's the ability he brings to the team. And you guys livened up, you got the goal, you look really good. So maybe the manager was like, well, okay, well, 10, 15 minutes of Palmer is better than fucking 15 minutes of Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah, but not, do you know what I mean? Not at the start of the game.
If
you know he's not fit and he's only going to get 20 minutes, imagine it, right? So let's say that's right.
He probably had him for 60 minutes in this game. Obviously.
He is, well, yeah, we'd have to make assumptions, but he took him off at 24.
He took him off at
24. So there must have been something wrong. But that's even worse. It's like, why would you go, oh, I'll give him 20, 30 minutes? Imagine it from a crowd point of view and you don't know all this information.
Yeah.
And your star player comes off after 30 minutes. You're looking at the manager going, what? And you kill the mood in the stadium. You think, what's he doing? Madness. But if you bring him on the 70th minute, and people know, because you said before, he's still carrying a bit of a knock, makes a hell of a lot more sense. But to start him and bring him off after 24 minutes, especially it's after thing. Sanchez and
I mean, Palmer didn't look happy about being off either, did he?
I don't fucking blame him. This is what I mean. Was it the knock?
They can have this conversation in like, even if it's just like a brief message from the manager to a player, be like, look, calm, thumbs up, whatever. They've done it in games all the time with players. Players, they give him the nod or whatnot. I think if that was the case, I don't know why he didn't just give Palmer like the, look, you're right, mate. You could.
That's what I mean.
Do you know what I mean? Instead of
if Palmer's come off pissed off, who's told him he don't look right? Palmer's clearly up for it. He's thinking, I'm the only creative player on this pitch now because you've taken off Neto and Este. Why on earth are you taking me off as well? Yeah. Like I said, for, what's his name again? Santos. An unproven guy. His first season in the Premier League. He's 21. And he was in Brazil's championship equivalent. I don't know what the league's called. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Fair enough if Neto was still on the pitch and you think, oh, all right, maybe I need to take Palmer off, I need to save him. All right, then bring Santos on, whatever. But you've taken off all three creatives. Well, you're never going to win the game.
Yeah. Ever. Was the game, I didn't watch Chelsea game, did the game look like you guys were just under it? Like when since they're sending off, like were you like completely under it where he had no choice but to take off the attack player because nothing was happening and maybe need that defensive.
It was so
like,
early.
It happened in 7 minutes. You literally didn't give him a chance.
Okay, yeah.
This is what I'm saying. This is what baffles me. It's like, all right, the card's happened. You've made the sacrifice player. Your defensive line's still there. Your defensive midfield line is still there. That's untouched. Move the middle about. Whatever, or tell Pedro to come and play a little bit deeper, or whatever. But within 7 minutes, you've taken off your two attacking wingers, and then within 20 minutes, you've taken off all creative midfielders. You're not gonna. You'll be lucky to even get a draw with that. He had sent the message to the players and the fans. I'm not in this game to win this game. I'm gonna hope for a draw. And it's so negative. It was not necessary. Like I said, it wasn't like it was against peak Liverpool, Arsenal or City. This is a poor United side. It was bad decisions.
I can't imagine going for a draw then, because if he took off all the attacking creative stuff, I would assume he was
he's going for a loss.
He's already decided.
To keep the players fresh, like keep them off and just go for the next game.
Off the game.
It felt like damage limitation in the 7th minute is what it felt like. Yeah.
But again, I just don't think you needed to do that against this United side.
Well, they did look all over you for the first 7 minutes, I will say. You were under the cosh.
Well, about the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, again, like I've said it a couple of times, the reason why you would not be a competitor for the league title is your defence and your goalkeeper. Goalkeepers cost you points.
The goalkeeper, yeah. I still think our defence is a lot better than it was last season. They've gelled a little bit more, but Sanchez has got that wild card. He's always going to do. I mean, last week he made a couple of good saves, and there's always that little bit of flair, and you think there's something there. You are a keeper, but then he'll go and do something like this, and you think, oh, where is your decision making? And the thing is, you can let people off sometimes because we all make mistakes. Look at Casemiro. He made a mistake today, yesterday.
He's made plenty of
but you forgive him because he's a quality player and he knows. But Sanchez, I find it harder to forgive because he's doing it week in and week out. He's always making these mistakes.
Agreed. I still don't understand why he didn't go in for a goalkeeper.
Don't have rumour, mate.
26 or, million.
The other one.
And Ramsdale. Sitting on the bench at Newcastle.
He only gives 90%.
So that'd be good enough for Chelsea at the moment.
Well, yeah.
Anyone else, Chelsea? United?
Just thanks for proving everyone on TikTok right, Mitchell.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
I'm all for a difference of opinions this far, and I'm fine with it.
Very level-headed of you. Well done.
Thank you.
Luke?
Mugs.
No.
No.
Just no. All right, over to the Super Sunday game, I guess. I know what Mitchell's going to say.
Oh, yes. Hey, I don't even need to say it. You can say it.
I said in the chat, the lineup for me was wrong. He's trying it. And Arteta does like to try these things at the start of the season. I think he said in his post-match that nobody questioned him about that selection midweek when we beat Bilbao. But it does just be a bit braver. Like, just, I know Odegaard's not fit, but play Eze in the 10. Like, we looked so much better in the second half with a number 10 playing. And that's not to say we look like their goal, the ball just didn't fall our way in that little bit of midfield tussle. And then they break superbly. Gabriel was a bit slow at tracking, I'd say. Saliba doesn't know if he should go or stick with Haaland.
Gabriel's got to be tugging his shirt there, isn't he?
Gabriel's got to take a yellow card. Like, just do something.
They did last season, didn't they, to Haaland? Oh,
yeah, like, and other than that, City offered very little. I've said it since the start of the season. This is not the City team of years gone by. It's a City team that's very beatable.
I'm surprised how defensive they went.
They were so defensive. Mm. And like, it is that mentality thing at the moment, and it's not. Just Arteta, it's the players. Like, some of the players are scared to play the through ball, trying to break the lines. It's just a bit disappointing.
Is that the message from Arteta, though? Are they taking that from him?
I find it like he's got a style that he wants to play, and it is like it's death by a thousand passes. And it's death by a thousand passes to the home fans as well at times, because it is just. You get in a position, you go, all right, one more ball. Just play. Oh, we're back at Gabriel again. I don't know how that's happened. And I will say today, and it's going to be the first time I said this, I think Declan Rice was poor today. I think he gave the ball away a couple of times when there was easy passes. And that was him playing easy passes as well. It wasn't him trying to break the lines. There was easy passes he misplaced today. Madueke looked good, but it looked like he picked up a knock just on half time, which is probably why Saka come on so early. I think that's a forced change, but Saka looked good when he came on, looked like he was up for it. But again, Eze in the number 10 role just looked better. I don't know why Trossard stayed on the pitch as long as he did. He wasn't really offering too much, but yeah, they were there for the taking today. The goal was, our goal was fantastic in terms of the finish. Bad defending by City. Goalkeeper could maybe come out a bit quicker, but Martinelli's first touch and finish was great, and it's nice to see in the last two games he's got a couple of goals off the bench. So hopefully, I think that's going to be his role now for the foreseeable. But even that, I would have started Martinelli over Trossard today. Trossard is more like, he was an impact player all last season. He did very little when he started games, and I can't see him offering much against teams like Man City. I honestly don't. Like, maybe against the lesser teams for sure, but yeah, it's just corners. Donnarumma was fantastic.
By the way, I'm over here for you, so fuck you. Yeah.
That's me, Mitchell.
Well, it still sticks.
So, yeah.
I think,
disappointing result, really.
I think Martinelli saved Arteta's blushes, because everyone would be saying it after. I mean, a draw, I've said it so many times, I'm getting bored of saying it. He has to do something this season. He can't finish second again.
I agree. And now we're 5 points behind Liverpool.
Should have won this game.
It's early enough in the season to make that back, and we've now played Liverpool and Man City, so that's at least something.
I will say, Liverpool, this is the first time I've seen them play good, or certainly the first half the other day.
The first half.
So I think you're fucked now. It's game's gone. season's fucked.
Yeah.
Right off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to disagree at the moment. I'm deflated, but we're 5 games, so let's go.
London is dead. Fuck it all.
Yeah. Let's start our wrestling podcast, Bob. Other than that, yeah, there's not really too much to it. We dominated the ball a lot of the time. We just didn't penetrate.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. We've got Newcastle away next. Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't play those three midfielders in the same configuration.
But I think that would work against Newcastle, though.
I don't disagree.
I think the way Newcastle play.
Newcastle aren't the same beast as they were last season.
Exactly.
They are missing Isak. They're missing the goals. They don't look as dynamic. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I can see going away from home, he will play those three midfielders.
I think that's what's going to either... It might work for him, but it might not. But they're the decisions that he needs to get right, I think, for the games. Because like, if it's Man City, where it worked against Villarreal, we said, was it the midweek Villarreal?
Bilbao.
I think we played them. Bilbao. And then into the Premier League. But they're two different beasts. They are just two different. And Man City, and if Man City saw that as well, don't forget. So teams would be like, oh, well, they played that team. What's the chances of them playing that same team again this week? And then they do their tactics and stuff for it. So another reason why it may not have worked as well is because of they've seen that players at midweek and it's not been changed. Only a little bit, because I think Odegaard picked up a knock, didn't he?
He picked up a knock at the end of the last, like before the Bilbao match.
I feel like it's Man City. They're always going to be a tough team, regardless of how bad they're playing or whatnot. Sometimes they turn up, don't they, at games?
But they're not. They're not like, I see that Man City squad at the moment, and I don't fear it.
No,
you know,
no.
Like years go by, and I thought, I hate playing Man City. Don't concede early. Today we conceded it, not early, but it's still early. 8 minutes, and it was, as I say, like there's a bit of fortune in their goal from the point they won the ball in midfield. The rest of it was very good.
It's so good. I fucking love that.
Other
goal.
Than that,
That Haaland run, it was so good.
Yeah, it's such a good run.
Jesus. So quick as well.
Yeah. And you know when he gets the ball, he's putting that away. Yeah. He's not missing it.
There's no chance he's missing it. But other than that, I think Raya had one save to make. So we contained them other than that one counter.
Yeah, did you have...
That's the frustrating thing.
Many chances then. If you had, like, if he was the better team sort of thing, did you have many chances, though, to try and see it?
Other than the goal, we made their goalkeeper work twice, but... Like from shots on target, but they're both saves that you'd expect Donnarumma to make. Madueke had one to his near post, which he got a good hand to, and Eze had one on the volley that was straight down like the centre. So you'd expect Donnarumma to make those saves. We got the ball in the box enough. We had a lot of corners, a lot of set pieces, but like their team's as big as ours. They've got as many tall players as we do, big players. We're still not supplying Victor Ucarez the right way.
He's done it wrong again. He's regressed.
I know. I did it on purpose. Ucarez. We're not supplying him the right kinds of balls. We shall see. We like Liverpool, we've not got going yet really either. So
for me, I think if I was an Arsenal fan in that game, I think the disappointing thing for me would be that you had the opportunity to play exactly how you wanted to play and you just didn't do enough. Like, and that's,
we just
that's
didn't have enough creativity.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't have enough imagination.
Yeah.
What's now Saka's coming back and he's fit. What's the deal with Saka and Madueke? Because Madueke has played so well in that right-hand side position. What's he going to do? You're going to move him over to the left?
I think we will, but we might see Saka go out left. He's left-footed.
Because it'd be a shame to drop Madueke at the moment. It pains me to say it, but he looks so fucking good at the moment.
It would be, but at the same time, and he does look very good. He looks dangerous. But he, at the same time, he's not producing goals or assists.
Yeah.
Which Saka does from that position consistently. So, and that will be the big thing. I can see Madueke go, well, do I see him getting in at left if he's not as effective there? With Eze, Martinelli, Trossard, there's a lot of competition there.
That's the problem. And then it's like,
good headache.
Then he's just a good bench player, then, isn't he?
Which is what we need
after his. Well, yeah.
But surely he knew that. He knew that coming into the squad, didn't he?
Yeah,
he knew that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he was always going to be playing second fiddle to Saka, unless the idea is to play him out on the left. Which there's good chance for. Like, again, he's only played once out in the Premier League out on the left. The first game of the season, so maybe that will be the idea to try him there once or twice more, see how he looks.
Do you reckon the next debate? I did see some stuff online that Ucarez not turning up at the big games.
It's too early. Like, he's had 5 Premier League games.
I know. I'm not trying to stir the
pot. No.
I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm seeing. It's, what people it's saying. Too
early. You've played Liverpool and City, so.
Yeah, and he's got, what, 3 goals in 4 or 4 goals in 5? Like, I'm not worried about that yet. Ask me that at Christmas. But anything else, or shall we go into man versus AI?
Do you think you're getting top 4?
Oh, absolutely.
Come on.
No, I said it's not going to be as easy, is what I said. I didn't say not going to. I said it's not going to be as easy as they think it's going to be. And he could still go that way. He could be difficult.
Do you think Spurs are going to get top 4? Look,
nope, not yet. No, I'm not saying.
You predicted it.
What about bottom 4?
I'm just saying not yet. I mean, let's not get too far ahead. Yeah, with Spurs. All right, guys, we'll go with Five's comment about it. Let's wait till January. May have to wait till April. So, let's see what happens. It's fucking Tottenham.
Right. Wait till next season.
Yeah.
Right, let's move it along into Man vs. AI. Mitchell Brown. Ooh. Man
vs. AI. Mate, my microphone's not here. I can't even remember what it was. It's gone from my head.
What?
Wait.
There's not much in there, Mitchell. Fucking hell.
Oh, Luke, that's horrific.
Love you. Beep, beep, beep.
So AI predicted. Let's have a look. It predicted Brighton 1, Tottenham 2, 0 points.
Yes.
West Ham 2, Palace 1, 0 points. Man United 1, Chelsea 1, 0 points. Arsenal 1, Man City 2. The first time AI has failed to score any points.
Yes.
Yeah.
0 point week for AI. Bob predicted a 1-0 Palace win and got 1 point. Clive predicted a 2-1 Arsenal win, got 0 points. Mitchell predicted a 2-1 Chelsea win, got 0 points. Luke predicted a 1-1 draw, so got 1 point.
Yeah, boy.
So,
playing serious.
Humans are on 12 points. The AI is on 9 points.
He's not in on double digits.
We got a breather, boys. We got a couple of points. Mitchell's still at top with 4. Luke, second with 3. Clive, joint second with 3. Bob, bottom with 2.
Yeah, oh, no. Making it back up.
It's all to play for. All to play for. Right, so this week's fixtures in the order, Chelsea versus Brighton. Mitchell.
Here it goes again.
3-1 Chelsea.
3-1.
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh, confidence. Then we've got Tottenham versus Wolves. Luke.
They beat us last season.
Yeah,
you know what's
going to
happen.
They are so.
Oh, exactly,
that's true. Every team's first wins were against you last season, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's Thomas Frank now, isn't it? He's all right.
No, don't say that. Don't worry. I'm going.
You're at home. You don't like playing at home.
No, I just feel like we always concede, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go 3-1. I need to go for a big win.
Then we got Arsenal away to Newcastle. I'm going 2-0. Arsenal.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to lose his points.
Don't. You cannot talk. You cannot talk.
Especially because you didn't do the forfeit.
Yeah.
He's not done the forfeit.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not allowed an opinion other than Tottenham's score. That's it. And then we've got our first Monday night game. So Bob's got a weekend of the podcast where he doesn't have to talk about West Ham.
Oh my God,
which will be very nice.
Weekend of my life. Yes.
He could just lap it all up. Everton at home, Bob, what are you saying?
Do you know what? This is outrageous, but I'm going to go West Ham 2-1 win. I can just see us beating them. I don't know why.
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think there was enough improvement there. Could sneak it.
Could sneak it. All right. Well, we shall see. I've got the AI predictions yet. Talk amongst yourselves.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, I was just saying something there, but it's not great for.
Go on. No. Michael, bleep it out.
No, because Mike would have to take it out.
He loves doing it. That's what he does. He loves it.
You can message it in the group.
Mike loves taking it out.
Yeah. I'm
God bless him.
Message it in the group.
Fuck off. Right. Yeah. Chelsea v Brighton. AI has gone for a 2-1 Chelsea win. Tottenham v Wolves. AI has gone for a 3-0 Tottenham win. Newcastle v Arsenal. It's gone for a 2-1 Arsenal win. Everton v West Ham, it has gone for a 2-1 Everton.
Okay.
Points to be made again.
Points to be made.
I can't because it's my camera, so I can't check it.
That's a pretty funny one.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I'm going to read it out loud. I can't do it
myself.
Jesus Christ.
And we'll end it there. Good night.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Any last words, Luke?
I don't know. That's what I've got.
No?
Any last words, Mitchell?
Absolutely not. Luke is a terrible human being.
Any last words, Bob?
No, thanks.